The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we are talking about season 3 of His Dark Materials. No one watched it, but it has good reviews, so that's positive. And one of us, and I won't spoil who, really liked it. And
it was
one
me.
Of us, no, it wasn't you. No, it wasn't. You, based on, oh, you know what? Okay, have you changed your mind or?
No, I hated it. It was
right.
Terrible.
Yeah, sure. And one of us hated it, which you sort of gave it away who that was.
It's me, James. Hi, folks. Glad to be here to talk about Westworld Season 3. His Dark Materials Season 3.
Do you believe they're comparable?
Yeah. I mean, this is better than Westworld Season 3, as most things on TV are. But, I don't know, I was very let down by Season 3 of His Dark Materials. I thought it was very boring and confusing. And I was like, well, I'm sure that the source material is better. And then I looked, this is actually an extremely close adaptation of the book. So,
yes,
I guess not.
For how, constantly jazzed you and Adam are currently when discussing The Last of Us, which, by the way, they are covering on a weekly basis, and please go listen to that. Of course, though, I think it will be very apparent of the numbers this podcast specifically does and the numbers that the Last of Us podcasts do. No one's going to listen to this, and a lot of people are going to listen to that, so I don't know why I'm touting
one. Yeah, so when we do that one, I'll shout out this.
Aw, thanks, man. Yeah, I don't know why that the reason we are here today is because we're in too deep. It's the same reason we did season 4 of Westworld, where at some point it was pulling teeth, but we did the rest of it. So I just feel like, out of consistency's sake, it had to be done.
I don't like to quit things, though I do it all the time.
Right.
I've mentioned this on a show. Famously, I watched every episode of the show True Blood except the last one, because I just could not be bothered.
That's psycho stuff. That's insane. You go watch it. We should stop this podcast, and you should go watch the finale of True Blood. It's not good.
I think the second to last episode of True Blood ends with the Viking vampire and his platonic wife are flying up into the ceiling hissing, and it looked like shit, and I was like, geez, I am not excited to watch the finale now.
I'm out. That's the final straw. Only one episode to go, but I just can't be bothered. I respect it. Wait, no, the opposite. I don't respect it. You gotta finish things off, and that's why we are here today. I am going to describe season 3 in as succinct a way as I can. James, you stop me when you want to complain. I was gonna say something, but stop.
Well,
interrupt
for context,
me with complaints.
It's been a while between seasons.
That's true.
And I needed to watch seasons 1 and 2 again to refresh myself. And so I watched them over again. And season 1, I still enjoyed. Not as much as the first time, but it was still okay. Season 2, kind of falling apart. Captures some of the magic of the other one, but clearly in decline. It's the same trajectory as Westworld. And then season 3, confusing and boring.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, here's a brief 10 to 15 minute description of what season 3 was. Episode 1. As a background, if you don't recall, for many millennia, the Authority, known as Creator the Almighty, has ruled the Kingdom of Heaven. However, he ruled with a dark angel at his side, a right-hand angel. Those who spoke up against him were cast away. Angels now live in between worlds, waiting for an opportunity for vengeance. Said opportunity will be upcoming here soon. Lord Asriel, played by James McAvoy, has been waiting and preparing to launch a rebellion. Meanwhile, Will is still searching for Lyra, but is having trouble finding her.
You're reading something you wrote, right?
I'm reading a hybrid of a synopsis and what I wrote.
Okay. Just wondering.
It's about 80 to 90% the internet and 10% Ryan. But to be fair, what the alternative was like remembering everything that happened and writing an essay about it. And I wasn't about to do that.
Right.
Jesus Christ. Okay. The disrespect.
There's an episode of this podcast really early on in the show, and I farted sometime. You can go find it.
You bring it up so often to me personally in our real lives. Which episode was it? Do you have a timestamp?
I honestly don't recall. I think I was living in Japan at the time. That's what I remember about it.
I'm just your vibes are that you are recording this podcast from a cardboard box in an alleyway, and you just can't, like, but you have a house, but you went out there purposely because you can't be bothered to such an extent.
All right. Well, why don't you let me freestyle recap from what I recall?
Oh, so I wrote all this for no reason. Yeah. No, makes sense.
Go ahead.
No, it'll be much better when you do it. You do it.
Well, I was going to say, what I remember about the beginning of this episode is that Lyra's mom, the crazy child murderer Ann Coulter, has kidnapped her and is keeping her in a medically induced coma for years.
Yeah, for an extended period of time. But she's doing it because she loves her, James.
I just want to say, and this will become more relevant as it goes on, in Kingdom Hearts 2, Sora also begins the story in a coma.
Comas happen a lot. Days of Our Lives lived off of comas and twins, you know.
In the coma, Lyra has aged about 8 years.
Right. Yes, because that's what happens with child actors. In fact, The Last of Us just got renewed for season 2. And I don't know, are they going to start filming tomorrow?
Yeah, they better get on it right away.
Yeah.
No, Ellie's actually quite... spoilers, no. Let's keep going. With the This Is Mark materials.
You're the one who almost spoiled it. I'm not out here doing it. Anyway, Will is confronted by a lot of angels, 2 of them to be specific. And to get away from them, he uses the subtle knife to go to a different world, but the angels follow him nonetheless. Will explains to them that he needs to find Lyra. That's his only mission. So the angels are like, oh, fuck. Okay, we'll help you, I guess.
Is there an amber spyglass in this season?
Yeah. Did you not watch?
Cool. I watched the season. I'm just trying to remember what part of the story that played.
Mary created an amber spyglass to look at the
mobilium. Oh, that was the amber. That was bad. Okay, so here's something. Will is also like 35 now.
Sure.
I don't know how long it's been in the story, but yes, there's a lot of angels now. Angels are extremely important in season 3. They were not that important. They weren't at all important in the first season, and they came up at the end of season 2, but they're fucking real important in season 3, and they're all over the place.
Yeah, the power creep situation in the show is a lot. Like, they're just getting closer and closer to fighting God, and Lord Asriel just keeps saying that we're going to use guns against God, and which feels dumb every time he says it.
Yeah, we're going to shoot God to death. It's like, okay, so you've got conventional weapons, and God knows everything and can do everything. And there's absolutely, he cannot be snuck up on. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. But I'm going to shoot him with a shotgun in his God face, and it's going to be a totally chill, and we're going to win. So you're the dumb one. Asriel recruits Commander Ogunwe to join him in his rebellion. Ogunwe eventually does once he, you know, you're a soldier, Harry, and look at all the magic is basically what happens. And that guy has more people with more guns because God can be killed with a gun, or at least angels maybe can.
At first, I was confused and thought this guy was an angel, but he's not.
What?
He's a guy with guns.
Okay.
He has an army of people with guns.
Yeah, I know. That's not the part that confuses me. The part that confuses me is the part where you said that you thought he was an angel.
Because everyone's talking, at this point in the story, everyone's like, Azrael's got angels. Oh, he's got angel friends. You know, he's talking to angels. He hangs out with the angels every night.
Okay. We port over to Cardinal MacPhail, which is his real name, and he's informed of a prophecy which he believes is related to Lyra Obvs. He believes if she becomes tempted by a serpent, she will fall and sin will triumph. So,
yeah.
Bible stuff.
It sounds like to me, the entire time this season was going, I was thinking, does that prophecy not refer to if Lyra and Will bang, it's the end of the world?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I assumed.
But that's actually, just to say, listeners, that's not what it means.
That's weirdly enough not what it means. I think it's what it should have meant, though. Just saying. And then we go to episode 2. There are more angels. Lyra is dreaming of Roger. Remember Roger, her friend from school who's dead now because her father killed him? Well, Roger's coming to Lyra in her dreams, and she feels an immense amount of survivor's guilt and wants to go help him. And the entire time, I'm just saying out loud, just let him be, you know?
So, yeah, I was pretty confused. I'm like, he's dead, Lyra. There's nothing to be done. She's like, no, I'm going to go to hell and get Roger back.
Right. Yes, there's one thing to be done, and she does it. Azrael hears that Lyra's in trouble, and he doesn't give a flying fuck.
We are reminded in so many scenes that he does not care about Lyra. In fact, there's a point in the story where he thinks Lyra is dead, and he's like, Lyra's dead? Sucks.
Tough times. Until the end, it's actually probably one of the worst moments in the third season, where all of a sudden he cares for kind of no reason.
It literally is. It's iced tea at the end of Rick and Morty. I care now. You made me care.
Yes, because my daughter let a prison break from death or heck. I like her now.
I should say, I thought the going to hell plotline was the most compelling of the season.
Yeah.
The other stuff, like Azrael and Miss Coulter, are going between suspense scenes to scenes of the two of them bickering and also flirting. And they just talk about how much she's obsessed with Lyra and how much he doesn't give a fuck. And I found all those scenes very tedious. And I guess we'll get to the Mary Malone stuff, but that shit was near unwatchable to me. And so every time Lyra and Will were on screen, I felt pretty engaged. And I was like, oh, they're going to the Shadow Realm from Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm interested. Let's go.
Sam is listening to me record this, and she just texted me, are you going to touch on how hot Azrael is? So
yeah, he's a pretty hot child murderer. A lot of child murderers in this show.
Yes, he's a very hot child murderer, but that is what she talked about most of the time while we were watching.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I'm just going to fast forward here. Yorick Bjornsson is there. He is a talking polar bear, which is chill. He has to come in because the subtle knife breaks, and then he reforges it to, let the knife bear be the knife bear once more.
If you get too sad while using the subtle knife, it breaks.
Mm. I like that. I don't know. Buck the fuck up, or the most important MacGuffin in the world is going to be destroyed.
Right. It's not called the totally chill knife.
No. It's the subtle knife. It's subtle. Honestly, it's a bad name for a knife. So yes, as you said, they go to the land of the dead. There they find Roger. They find Lin-Manuel Miranda's Lee Scoresby. They find, near the end of it as well, Will's dad. They have a sequestered conversation, those two.
Can I set the scene a little bit, guys? So
yeah, I'd love that. Yeah.
When you die,
yeah,
there's no heaven or hell.
Nope.
You go to the shadow realm,
mm-hmm.
where you're really depressed, and you're depressed because a bird monster flies around insulting you all day.
Yeah.
And so you don't have the courage that it would take to change your situation in any way.
Mm-hmm. When you are in the shadow realm and you're like starting to feel good, a bird monster comes up to you and starts talking shit.
And that's hell.
That's hell.
I mean, that's not as bad as I imagined, but not good. Like, I don't want to go there.
Either way, Lyra and Will are prison breaking these motherfuckers out, but they can't use the subtle knife on the low ground for some reason.
Right.
They have to get up higher.
They can't get cell reception on the subtle knife.
Yeah. So through whatever, they get up high, but then the birds are like, we're not done talking shit yet, so you can't leave. And then Lyra's like, if I tell you a dope story, will you let us leave? And the bird's like, yes.
And through talking about happier times, she's able to get Roger's like shade to be happy again, and he turns back into a real boy. Interestingly, Roger has aged about 5 years while he's been in hell.
Right.
Not only do you age in hell, but like you take the clothes that you were wearing with you to hell. But then the clothes also still fit even if you've aged during that time period.
Are you suggesting this is unrealistic? That hell isn't really like this?
No, I think the hell is pretty cool in that way.
Oh, so it's like your favorite place to be. The boat ride over, I liked the moment where they get on the boat and Lyra's Damon can't go with her and they're all very sad about it. That was sad, and I liked it.
Yes, you can't bring your dog to hell. And so she leaves Pan in some other world, and he loses his shit about this. To Pan, this is the ultimate betrayal.
It is, yeah. And he will not forgive her for 3 to 4 episodes. Let's talk very quickly about Mary and her journey to the roller skating elephant story.
Yes, the best of the plot lines.
So she is just following around, learning the language of and coming to understand these rollerblading elephants.
She does Avatar on the elephants.
She sort of does Avatar on the elephants, and she's Jake Sully, but not really, because
no, she does not fuck any of them.
Yeah,
to be clear, well, not a full Avatar.
Not on screen. We don't know what happened.
She off does screen. Not pull a full Jake Sully.
Not yet. And she also makes a spyglass that's amber, hence the name of the third book that this is based off of.
I honestly did not put that shit together. And I was like waiting for like some pirate captain to pull out a magic spyglass the entire season.
There's gotta be a spyglass. She uses it to see that the trees in the world is dying because the dust is going up into the air. If only 2 children she would meet in the future, Bone, it would all be okay.
I just want to say,
yeah,
these Mary Malone scenes.
Yeah.
There were so many of them throughout season 3. And I said out loud a lot of times, I'm like, this shit better be really important to the story for how much time they're spending on this. Not only is the fact that all of the dust leaving the world not new information, like Asriel has already known this, but I think the audience already knew this as well. Yeah,
from the pilot.
And then also, aside from encouraging Lyra and Will to hook up at the end of the story, which she does pretty funnily, like Mary Malone has no bearing on the story at all. And there's a wonderful moment. I just skipped to the very end. She's like talking to an angel, and Angel's like, good job, Mary Malone, you did it. And Mary Malone straight up is like, I didn't do anything for real. Like,
and then the author of the book just breaks the fourth wall, walks into the shot, and goes like, she's right.
I forgot to make this tie-in. So it was just a standalone story of an Irish woman with some elephants.
And then he salutes the screen and walks off. Let's talk quickly about MacPhail, Dr. Cooper, the whole magisterium thing. They're in Zeppelins, and they're trying to bomb Lyra with her hair.
Right. They have a super voodoo bomb where if they have your hair, they can transport the bomb directly to you, even if you're in hell. Like, even if you're dead. They'll bomb your soul.
Bomb your soul to bits. And Mrs. Coulter is trying to get to the Magisterium to stop this bomb from happening. She does so in the vibes machine. I think it's the intention machine or whatever it is. It's a ship that runs off of vibes.
Yes, and she has to do a very bad spy job of being like, yes, MacPhail, I'm here to kill my beloved daughter. Let's do it together.
Also, there's a sexual tension between us, and I think you can feel it as well.
Right, but that is left hanging. She comes on to him a lot. He seems really interested. They never kind of resolve that. No, nobody makes a move.
No, he gets severed before that ever becomes anything more than an innocuous flirt. But Father Gomez exists. I'll say that one sentence, but it doesn't matter at all. And then Mrs. Coulter gets caught. All of this is also happening at the same time where, like, this little fly dude is helping her. He's a general, this little fly man, but eventually he just gets swatted and he's dead.
Meanwhile, like, I swear to God, like, the elephants are like, and this is our ancestor tree, Mary, like, where the souls of all our ancestors live in this tree. She's like, wow, this is a lot like a movie I saw.
That was a perfect accent. And then she's also like, can you teach me to rollerblade? That would be dope.
Yeah.
There are witches, too.
What's cool about the bomb, the super bomb that teleports bombs, is that you need to kill someone in order to fire it. So, MacPhail's gonna kill Ann Coulter in order to set off the teleportation bomb. And when the little tiny person foils that, he's like, well, the joke's on you. I'll just kill myself to launch the bomb. And that's what he does. And I thought that was very brilliant. I really love in a story where the bad guy just kills himself so it saves you the trouble.
It's as satisfactory as can be. And although I think probably the best visual of the third season was the bomb coming through the sky in the Land of the Dead.
Yeah, they nuked hell.
They did. And it didn't work, though. Through the power of friendship, they survived.
That was probably the highlight of the season for me, was like, when the president of God killed himself to teleport a bomb to hell. That was pretty sick.
Yeah, that's a sick... I mean, listen to the sentence you just said. Full of so many sick stuff.
But yeah, nothing happens. It doesn't even kill any dead people.
No, well, they were already dead, James, okay?
Right, what's going to happen? Where are they going to go if they get bombed now?
They die twice, which is twice as bad, obviously, okay?
Right, they go to an even darker, spooky place larger birds that yell at you more often.
Yeah, the birds are meaner there.
Damn, this super hell.
Super hell. This all brings us to episode 8, the finale. The angels kill Father Gomez. I didn't explain who that was because I don't want to.
Wait, aren't you going to talk about how when they nuke heaven next?
Oh, right. They also kind of nuke heaven. They nuked heaven and hell, but not the little space. You know, actually, I'll cover this real quick. And I'm sure we've said this in the past. The theme song of this rips.
It is good. It is a bit of a Westworld ripoff, I will say. I'm sure we've already said
everyone, that. Yeah, that seems like something. I'm deja vuing that you've said that in the past. So Will and Lyra go to Rollerblading Elephant World. Mary tells them...
Wait, I just want to talk a little bit about episode... Was it the 7, the penultimate
one? You don't even know.
And so, the culmination of the big story, having successfully infiltrated, like, the church, next, Coulter, like, talks her way into heaven. She, like, tricks Jesus, whose name is Megatron, into letting her into heaven.
It's not Megatron, but keep going.
He wrote this book in the year 2000, when Transformers had already been out for 20 years. And he was like, you think this name sounds too much like Megatron? Nah, it's fine. It's definitely not going to sound really stupid when they adapt it in 20 years.
Listen, he was more than meets the eye. Get off his back.
So she confronts Jesus, who's locked God up in jail.
In God prison, yeah.
Yeah. And so she's just buying time. Buying time for Will and Lyra to bang.
Right.
Like, that's what needs to happen. And so, anyway, they escape hell, and that's probably about to happen, so they need to buy more time. So Asriel jumps in, too. They have, like, an Avengers fight against Jesus, but Jesus is too strong for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lyra and Will port into heaven jail, and they let God out of jail just in time for them to fire a space laser at heaven, and which kills God, and it kills Ann Coulter, and it kills Professor X. But
okay,
they both are redeemed because they sacrificed themselves for Lyra. The show makes that pretty clear, that the characters are now redeemed. Yes. With the music they're playing and the shots they're showing.
That was the worst part, where the show is like, the show announces to the audience that two characters are redeemed. It doesn't show that or earn it. It's just like, you see? Pretty redeemed.
They're good now. Well, Asriel's only killed one kid that we know, but I'm pretty sure
we know of
that Miss Coulter was like the Dr. Mengele type figure of like a child killing factory. Because like when Lyra first gets there, there's like a lot of kids.
She operated a genocide, very clearly.
Right, against like an ethnic minority, like the Egyptians.
Sure.
So yeah, it is, she's kind of a Nazi.
She's a Nazi, but she's redeemed now because the show told us.
Right, because together they killed Jesus, kind of.
Also, she's magic.
And she's magic, but like it doesn't really come up that much.
It's not. She's not that magic. She's a little bit magic. She can negotiate with specters. She can talk them into not being mean.
Right, and she gets them to... She does, like, the end of Return to the King and all the specters attack Devon. I just want to say, we never find out... We get a good amount of information on Miss Coulter's backstory. We never find out anything about Asriel and what his deal is. Like, Asriel's story begins with him, like, seducing Ann Coulter, and we don't know what he was doing before that, or why he's so pissed at God.
Because how dare you? You know, just like running everything, lying. He hates liars. That's what it is. Liars and
now
Lyra.
Now that they've killed God, like, is everything going to be good for everyone forever from now on?
No, there are more books after this and it still is bad.
Then what was the point? It's like killing Rehoboam. What changed?
Yeah, nothing really. It was better for a little while. So that's good, right?
Yeah. So in the last episode, Ryan was keying it up. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're not.
Episode 8 was pretty good.
It was okay.
Pretty wacky.
It was wacky and wild stuff. Yeah.
Episode 9, I honestly thought episode 8 was the end. I was like, okay, that's the show. And then my dad was like, no, you see, there's one more. And so they teleport to make out point, Lyra and Will. And they're like, we're not sure if we should bang. When Mary Malone's there, and she's like, no, you should. Is that what she said? No, she's like, you should fall in love. And she's like, you guys should fall in love. And it's like, well, it's not really a matter of should. It's like it either happens to you or it doesn't. Like, you can't just, okay, I guess I will fall in love with Lyra after all.
There are only 8 episodes, but it's, I guess, semantics. Yes, they should fall in love. Also, the angels go to Will and Lyra's daemons and are like, you guys need to go kiss and make up.
You need to get over it, Pan. You fucking drama queen. If you don't make up with Lyra, the world will end. Like, no, the multiverse will end.
I wish Pan was like, then let it end. She was being a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, that's his attitude through most of the season. He's like, no, fuck Lyra, dude. She didn't take me to hell with her.
Anyway.
They make up. She's so sorry.
They're all sorry. Lyra and Will love each other now. And so all the dust stops escaping from the world and through several montages.
Well, there's a great part I just want to mention in between what you're saying here. Where
you,
like,
you just said.
So like Lyra goes to kiss Will and then it like pans away. So anything else that happens is complete implication. But then it cuts to like 2 angels and they see the Aurora
and they're
Borealis.
Watching.
They're looking at the northern lights and they're like, oh, you know what that means. Don't you?
You know. Yeah.
I laughed a lot at that scene.
Do you like that the angels are perverts?
And I was also like, at this time of year.
Yeah, they're perverted angels. What are you going to do? Anyway.
The very end of the show was good. I thought that the girl who played Lyra fucking killed it in those scenes.
Yeah. I'm glad that you feel this way. In fact, my entire vibe on the third season is sort of based on the end because I thought it was a pretty ballsy ending. And it's the same ending from the book where they save the world all the worlds and all the dust is good, but they at that moment lose their innocence and they grow up. So Lyra can't read the Altheometer very easily anymore, and Will and her go back to Lyra's world, but they have to say goodbye because if they leave all of these knifed portals open, then the dust will escape.
The dust it'll get out through the hole, and then we'll be right back where we started with God in jail or something.
Right. So Lyra and Will just have fallen in love like yesterday, and yes. Now to continue saving the world, they can't ever see each other again ever.
What? Which but is they were sad also friends and fall. Have been through a lot, right? So
that makes it better.
No, I'm saying so that makes it worse.
Oh,
and I mean the guy playing Will is doing fine, but the actress playing Lyra is like doing an amazing job. Just a good actress. I hope she gets in some better stuff after this.
She was in Logan, wasn't she?
Was that her? I mean, she's probably going to be in Avengers soon, I assume.
They always pick up the best ones who roller skate with elephants and fall in love off screen. So they say goodbye.
At the ending was okay.
Yeah, you wow, fine. Backtracking on that.
I thought that heavy sigh was you wrapping up the
two more. So the subtle knife breaks, which enables the angels to close all the other windows left open by other knife bearers, which is like not like close your windows. That's just like rule number one of having the knife. Close your goddamn windows, but whatever. Lyra goes back to Jordan College. Will reunites with his mother, and for the rest of their mortal lives, Lyra and Will go to the same place in the Oxford Botanical Garden on the same day every year to remember each other. And they promised themselves before they left that they would meet again in the afterlife. Will becomes a doctor. Lyra learns to read the Altheometer by herself. And the end is just generally sad and then cuts to black and we're done.
Yeah, it was a good ending to a pretty mediocre season. But as you said, there's more material after book three. And we find out that like this experience with Will has left Lyra like emotionally stunted and like unable to connect romantically with anyone else. So yeah, it's really not a happily ever after situation.
No, it's a situation in which the heroes of the story sacrificed not only their childhoods, their innocence, but kind of the rest of their lives. And sure, they saved the world, but at what cost to themselves? Perhaps everything.
I like when the angel straight up uses the word multiverse. He's like, you saved the multiverse, Lyra. You and Doctor Strange both.
Yeah. There was a 1 in 14 million chance of you saving the multiverse, and you did it. By the way, both angels die, and when the first one dies, oh, also the angels are gay. Well, not really. The angels don't have a gender, but the two actors, you know what I mean, right?
I also like the, because after MacPhail dies, there's like a second lieutenant bad guy. Who he's gonna like, he has a sniper rifle. He's gonna shoot Will and Lyra before they can bang.
He's gonna 360 no scope their asses.
And an angel shows up and like tickles him and he dies.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
But the angel then gets bit or something by Father Gomez's daemon and then he also dies.
Did you like season three, Ryan?
I think the ending was so good that it made up for a lot of stupid shit. Like, even though Asriel was super hot, every time he brought up the fact that he was going to shoot God with a gun, I thought was pretty stupid. Miss Coulter was being her same badass self, you know, except for at the very end where both of them did like a weird 180 turn on their entire vibe. But I do like how she manipulated God and then used her weird negotiation powers on specters. That one was weird, but I still liked it. A lot of dumb shit. But it's what's in the books.
I mean, endings are hard, as we say on the show a lot.
Yes.
But, I mean, I think the Will and Lyra shit wrapped up pretty satisfactory. But, like, the whole thing about God, like, never made a lot of sense to me. Asriel would be like, God's not real, and I'm going to kill him.
I guess it didn't feel forced, but like
it was rushed for sure.
No, it wasn't. I'm not even talking about like the show. Of course, the show was rushed and not seen by anybody. But more so than that, the show and the book are commentaries on religion, really, right? Like, first and foremost. And it feels like the third season loses its way on that a little bit when the trying to fucking start blasting at angels. Like, it, I don't know. Oh, also, remember that one part where Lord Asriel tortures an angel? That was pretty tight.
Yeah, he puts him in a microwave like in Kick-Ass.
Mm. Then he explodes.
Well, listeners, it's that time again. Time for the BuzzFeed Which Character Quiz. Which character are you quiz?
Oh, fuck, yes.
This, don't act. But this one, interesting spin on it. It's what animal would your daemon be? Every time we do this, we just get the same thing.
Yeah, I hope it's the same animal that my Patronus is. It'll be fun.
Ryan, pick a word to describe yourself. Friendly, no. Cute, sassy, loyal, or talented?
I thought no was an option. Friendly, sassy, cute.
Loyal, cute, funny, talented.
I'm funny, dude.
Yeah, you are. Okay. Yeah,
thanks, man. I'll
go with you on that one.
Thanks,
and
dude.
For me, I'm going to go with sassy.
You are a sassy little bitch.
Ryan, choose a holiday destination. Iceland, Great Britain, USA, China, Australia, or India?
I choose Australia.
Okay. Any reason why?
No.
I've always wanted to visit China. Okay. Ryan, choose a Disney film. Frozen, Mulan, Finding Nemo, Beauty and the Beast, Pocahontas, or The Jungle Book?
Gosh. It's hard not to say Beauty and the Beast because obviously you and I put on Beauty and the Beast in high school, both starring in every role.
I also, as a 5-year-old, saw that movie in theaters like 7 times.
Well, that's because it's a good one, James. But I'm going to go Finding Nemo here.
Interestingly, I'm probably going to go with Pocahontas, another one I really loved as a weird little boy.
You were a weird little boy, but you understood the colors of the wind, to be fair.
Ryan,
yeah.
What's your worst trait?
Well,
are you too lazy?
Yeah.
Are you a show-off?
No.
Do you have a temper?
Yeah.
Are you too shy?
No.
Do you hate being alone?
No.
Are you clumsy?
Well, yes. Lazy.
Okay, Ryan, too lazy. For me, I am extremely clumsy and break shit all the time.
That's cool.
Ryan, order yourself a meal.
Okay.
Vegetarian lasagna.
No.
Salmon and vegetables.
No.
Cobb salad.
No.
Steak.
Yeah.
Venison Wellington or no. Mussels and chips?
The steak, please.
All right. You getting the steak?
Of course.
I'm going to go with the Wellington. A little fancy.
You're just being a contrarian at this point. You want the steak.
Ryan, of the following 6 names, choose one for your daemon. They're all Ryan. Bad.
Oh.
Flo.
No.
Ursula. Gold. No. Goldfuss.
What?
Aves. Lutra.
What?
Sunda.
I want Lutra. Wait. I take that back. None of these are good.
No, you have to pick one.
Lutra, I guess. I'll go with my
gut. I'll
go with my gut on that one.
I got a good tickle at a Goldfuss, so I think yeah. I'll go with that one.
Yeah, all that's right. Ooh, like Goldust the wrestler? That'd be jealous.
Yeah, like,
can he be
like
my daemon?
And gold. So, who's your favorite His Dark Materials character? Professor X, Lyra, Alexander Hamilton, Ann Coulter. Eorik Bjornsson or Will?
I like Eorik Bjornsson because he's a bear.
Okay, interesting. I'm going to go with Alexander Hamilton.
He's your favorite?
Yeah, because when he's on screen, I think about Hamilton.
Sure.
All right, Ryan, your daemon is an otter.
Oh, dude, my Patronus is a weasel. Very close.
Yeah, it's a aquatic weasel.
I
love
that.
You're cute but scrappy, so
nice.
While people may underestimate you, they better not cross you.
That's true.
You love to joke around and have fun with your friends.
I'm very funny.
You're often the life and soul of the party.
So
and
true.
And people naturally gravitate you. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty great. I think that's Ryan.
I do have gravity at this point.
Wow. Mine's like kind of insulting.
Good.
My daemon is the koala.
Why? That's so cute.
You
they
have
are
super
dumb
chill
as fuck,
vibes.
Though.
And
yes,
you rarely
that's true.
Let anything faze you. But people shouldn't mistake you for complacent.
Maybe I made that mistake.
You know how to rumble, and you're not taking anyone's
what?
Shit. I mean, that sentence isn't true.
That's you, baby.
Just by put up with a lot. Sleeping, eating, and spending time alone makes you happiest. No, I'm doing so much of that. I'm not happy. This website doesn't know me, okay?
You're being attacked. That's fun. Is that the end of yours?
I have a koala named Goldfuss. I forgot that it's supposed to be the opposite gender, so it's a girl koala named Goldfuss.
Yep, and I have a girl otter named Lutra.
Oh, and there's at the very end, Malone is like, the angel's like, Mary, you have a demon too. And it's like a little bird, and it doesn't say anything. I was like, just say something.
The golden monkey that Miss Coulter has doesn't say shit the whole time.
Yeah, I thought he was like brain damaged or something because of all the abuse she heaps on it.
She's so mean to the goddamn monkey. Why are you mean to that monkey? It's not nice.
Right. I mean, we find the monkey actually was chill with Lyra.
Oh, like 100% of the time. And sacrificed himself as well while, like, you know, like moving a lever. And then, you know, not exactly, but like God and Lyra's bad parents fell into a deep, dark God killer abyss. And the golden monkey, whom was just getting bitch slapped for 3 straight seasons, also died, which is horseshit.
According to Wikipedia, the bench from the show, real bench. You can go there.
Oh, if
if you were in Oxford, would you go to the bench?
I guess if I was in Oxford, I don't know why I'd be in Oxford, but yes, I would. And then I would sit next to, I would take 2 pictures with me on either side with 2 different sets of clothes on, because this is real elaborate. And one would be Will and one would be Lyra. So I would, and then I would put that on the internet and no one would know what I was fucking talking about.
There was also a case of censorship with the amber spyglass. In the original version published in the UK, there's a longer paragraph.
Graphic sex scene.
You're making a joke, but in the American version, she's like, Lyra, it's okay to love Will. And Will's like, wow, that's great. And in the British version, like, Mary Malone says that, and then, like, Lyra gets really horny for a paragraph. It's really weird.
Read it.
Okay. Here's the U.S. version.
Okay.
The U.S. version first.
Remember this, your child.
Mary has just said, like, no, well, in the books, she's, like, a teenager, but in the show, she's, like, 20 already.
That's true.
In the U.S. edition, as Mary said that, Lyra felt something strange happen to her body. She felt as if she'd been handed the key to a great house she hadn't known was there, a house that was somehow inside her. And as she turned the key, she felt other doors opening deep into the darkness and lights coming on. Okay, that's the U.S. version. Here's the British version.
Okay. She fucking chaffed, dude.
As Mary said that, Lyra felt something strange happen to her body. She found a stirring at the roots of her hair. She found herself breathing faster. She had never been on a roller coaster or anything like that, but she had. Or she would have recognized the sensations in her breast. They were exciting and frightening at the same time. She had not the slightest idea why. But the sensation continued and deepened and changed. And more parts of her body. Yeah, I mean, this just goes on and on like this.
No,
bro.
Keep going.
Okay. She felt as if she'd been handed. Okay, then it's pretty much the same thing.
There was one word in there I didn't like, but what the U.S. was like too much.
Well, it's just weird that like, hey, Lyra, it's me, your professor friend from a long time ago that you hung out with a couple times. Bang this guy.
Yeah, let's talk about you being all horned up, but not in America.
Honestly, the books that come after this sound kind of interesting. I hope they adapt them in 10 years with the same girl. That'd be
they
cool.
Shouldn't. Nobody watched this.
Okay, good. Don't do it, guys. There's too much prestige TV. Like, now the levels of, like, junk TV have stabilized. But there's too much prestige TV. I already committed to not watching junk TV anymore, and now I can't even keep up with prestige TV.
You're so brave.
You mean, you do. You've seen everything.
That's not true. I've committed to not watching prestige TV.
There you go. Ryan only watches The Learning Channel.
Yeah.
Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, well, when it's on, not often enough. I got Peacock just for it.
I didn't know this was the end of the book series or the end of the show until the show ended. So maybe we'll join you for His Dark Materials Season 4.
No.
In 2 years. Where they're just going to write a new season. Original work here. The Mary Malone spinoff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Silver Spyglass. She makes another one, but it's different this time.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen to The Last of Us with Adam and James.
And Ryan subbed for me.
I subbed for you.
I'm going to make the same joke I made the last time I couldn't be on the show, where I used the excuse that Xander from Buffy gave about why he couldn't give a statement on Joss Whedon's Me Too situation.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is that I have paralyzed my anus and I couldn't be on the show.
Again.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the best deflection. Xander, do you want to say something about this Me Too controversy, guys? You don't even want to know what I got.
You don't want to know, but I'm going to tell you, and because this ain't the U.S. version of the Amber Spyglass.
Damn, he brought it back around, folks. That's what you call an expert.
An anal deflection expert.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.